Through the years, you've covered a number of significant events here at Oshkosh, and we were talking earlier today that probably 1985 was a real turning point for the show with Concord, and you're actually going to do a program
Thursday night, dedicated
to Concord.
Yeah. EAA started, a little side note, when the program first came here to Oshkosh, I asked Paul, I says, what time's the air show? We don't do air shows, we do flybys. And he was firm on this until about 76, 77. I can't give you the exact year. And he finally relented and said, okay, we'll call it an air show. And that's where it went from there. And EAA was gradually growing. We didn't really have a military presence at that time. There would be maybe one would show up, but it was not like we have tonight with the 35 came in. But in 85, when Concord came for the very first time, for those of you that don't know, Concord had never flown except to Heathrow, De Gaulle, Kennedy, and Washington. That was it. And there were a couple of countries over, or a couple of spots over in Asia. But that was it. Concord had never been anywhere else. When it came here in 85, that put a stamp on EAA. We went from just being an aviation event to a nationally known, it became the Mecca for aviation, to put it that way.
So that's 1985. You're going to talk in depth about that on Thursday night.
Yep.
And we actually have a couple of Concord representatives who are going to join us in just a little bit as well. Jim?
I've got one little story about the Concord coming here. We have, after it came here, we had the chance to have dinner with the pilot.
Captain Cook.
Yeah, and you remember he did a touch and go?
Well,
okay.
Wait till you hear the story Thursday night on that one.
Okay. And he said, during dinner, you know, when I get back to England, they are going to screw my balls to the floor for doing that.
How many of you were here for the 85? Oh, that was when he, the touch and go, the runway was 6,001 feet that year. And Captain Cook had to put it down right at the edge of the runway. He had been here in March and he said, ooh, this is going to be tight. So he touched it right down at the beginning of the runway at 3:18, I'm sorry. And he came along, and all of a sudden he went, and they kicked the afterburners on, and up she went. And everybody, even the guys in the tower, went, whoa, and I won't say the word. But nobody knew he was going to do that, not a soul. And that was a moment, and wow, I'll tell you, there's a guy that's a cameraman right over here, is my son, Christopher. He was 2 years, how many of you remember anything from when you were 2 years old? He was two, and that made such an impression on him at that time. When it came back in 88, he wanted to meet Captain Cook, who was so gracious, picked Christopher up, held him. We got a family photo that it's our prize photo in the family. And he wanted so bad to ride Concord. And in 94, Tom invited us to go up to Toronto to bring her in from Toronto. And so our son got to fulfill his dream. His bucket list started very early in life.
Judy, growing up with Ray and Bernice.
What was her name again?
Yeah.
I don't know.
With Ray and Bernice and being so involved with EAA, what are some of the stories or events that you remember from those early days?
Well, I know Mom and Audrey always talked about how they went out in the fields and plowed the grass with these very big tractors. And one time my dad couldn't find them. And here they are. And they said, oh, the tower could find them. And they were just out plowing on this great big, you know, Ford tractors.
Right.
I got to say Ford, you know.
And, of course, you've been involved almost your entire life.
Yeah.
And, your dad, Ray, took over the theater, making the theater in the woods. And the facility that we're sitting in here today is a little different than the originals that once the stage was put up. If you can imagine, it was great for those of us on the stage if it was inclement weather, because the roof ended at the edge of the stage. So all y'all would have been in the rain. But that changed one year by a very strong suggestion from your mother.
Yes. Well, my mother was very forceful, if anybody knew her. And one day then she said, it was raining and people were standing out in the rain. She said to Tom, Tom, next year I want that roof extended all the way out there. And he said, yes, ma'am. Next year, the roof was there, so anybody have to go in the rain, you can thank my mother for that.
The reason I happened to find this out when we were talking before we came out here, that happened the year after Chuck Yeager was up here. It was pouring rain to beat the band. This place was packed. Nobody moved. Chuck wouldn't let him.
True. And, you know, your dad sort of let you take over the reins of Theater in the Woods. Yeah. And you have the distinction of probably being one of the only people who's ever gotten on the phone and called Houston, Texas and said, Houston, we have a problem.
We were going to have a live broadcast with the shuttle as it was flying around. We don't even know where it was. Must have been because he sent me a picture of the field. And I said, I think we better do a run through. So I did have a direct line to Houston. Woo-hoo, I lost it though. I'm sure they cut me off. And so I called Houston and they said, that sounds like a real good idea. So I had the guys all here and we tried to connect and it wouldn't work. So I got on the phone and at that time we didn't have cell phones. It was just regular landlines. Yep. And I got to say, Houston, we have a problem. I thought that guy was gonna drop the phone.
But you eventually solved the problem. And
it was just a glitch on their part that they just had to push a different button.
So it's amazing when you think about it that the Theater in the Woods has communicated with space.
We did. And nobody believed it at the time because it was so clear.
Right.
They thought it was fake, but it was true. We did that twice, once with the shuttle and once with the
space station. So before we wrap up this segment, any last words that you'd like to share with the audience about the early days, Jim?
No, I think you've pretty well covered it.
Okay. You're, by the way, the Stearman that you, the Staggerwing that you flew in 1970 is here on the field as well.
Well, I brought the Staggerwing up in 1970, which was the first year,
yep.
And it's back here again. And I've owned it all that time, so I'm just glad to have it here.
Oh, good.
And we're glad you're here. Whoops.
Well, with that, we'll wrap up this segment. Thank you, Judy Miller, Jerry Burke, Jim Gorman, for sharing your memories with us. We're going to move on into the 70s.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.